You know the one. A team member brings up a real problem, a roadblock, a challenge. And the manager shrugs it off with three dismissive words. Live with it. It's lazy, it's disrespectful, and it's the fastest way to kill a team's morale. Here is the harsh reality. When managers take this attitude, they're telling their team, your problems don't matter. And guess what? The same team is one foot out the door, ready to find a leader who actually listens. Welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast where I tear apart the toxic leadership habits and show how to build teams that thrive. I'm Wayne Robertson, and today I'm coming in for one of the most infuriating phrases in management. Live with it. Now, in this episode, I want to expose the damage that these words can cause, and digging into what it takes to reverse the trend before your team falls apart completely. If you've ever used live with it, or you've been told live with it, this episode will hit hard, but stick with me. It's time to stop dismissing your team and start showing up as the leader they deserve. Let's get into it. This story is fictional because of confidentiality of real activities that went on, but I do want to point out the key points here that really will make sense. Charlotte was a project manager known for her focus on results, but her habit of dismissing the team with live with it nearly caused her team to fall apart. And her wake-up call came during a team meeting where frustrations boiled over. Because she realized that she needed to change not only for the project's success, but also to rebuild trust and morale within her team. And after acknowledging the damage that her behavior had caused, Charlotte made a commitment to listen, to learn, and to adapt her management style. And she started with a simple yet powerful step, meeting with each team member one-on-one to understand their concerns and how she could better support them. So here's the purpose of one-on-one meetings. You want to rebuild trust by showing genuine interest in each team member's experiences and challenges. You want to understand their working style, their personality, the needs of each person on the team. And you want to demonstrate the commitment to change and involve them in shaping the new approach as a manager. So Charlotte began each team meeting by apologizing for her past dismissiveness and assuring the team member that their input would be valued. And she asked open-ended questions like, what challenges are you facing right now? And how can I better support you moving forward? And what's one thing I could change to make your job easier? And she took very detailed notes, kept asking clarifying questions to make sure she fully understood their concerns. And she ended each meeting by summarizing what she'd heard to make sure that she's in agreement with the discussion they just had and committing to specific actions based on their input. Now, Charlotte noticed that some team members were hesitant to open up. Fairly normal. So she used gentle, encouraging questions and avoided pressuring them for immediate answers. For example, for a quiet team member who was struggling with confidence, Charlotte offered to check in weekly to help them tackle challenges one step at a time. Now, others were more direct and vocal about their frustrations, and Charlotte allowed them to express their concerns fully, even when the feedback was difficult to hear. For example, a vocal team member frustrated with unclear project goals, she committed to providing detailed updates and clear communication in team meetings. And after all these discussions, Charlotte realized that each team member needed something different from her. Some needed hands-on guidance with specific tasks. Others needed autonomy, but appreciated occasional feedback and recognition. And a few of them needed help navigating interpersonal challenges within the team. And so, she replaced her dismissive live-with-it attitude with more thoughtful responses like, "Let's work on this together. What solutions have you considered? Let's discuss the options. And I understand this is frustrating. How can I help?" And she began anticipating potential issues and checking in with team members before the problems escalated. So, for example, when a team member was juggling multiple deadlines, Charlotte stepped in to help prioritize their workload and delegate tasks. And Charlotte made it a point to recognize each team member's contributions during the meetings and in private conversations. She celebrated small wins, which boosted team morale and created a culture of appreciation. As Charlotte followed through on her promises, the team began to see her as a reliable and supportive leader. The open communication channels helped resolve issues faster and fostered collaboration. Team members felt heard and valued, which reignited their motivation and their commitment to the project. And productivity increased as roadblocks were addressed promptly and team dynamics improved. And she found deep satisfaction in spending quality time with each team member, because she realized that supporting her team wasn't just about fixing problems. It was about building relationships and creating a thriving work environment. Here are some lessons that Charlotte learned from this journey. Listen first. Your team's concerns are valid. Acknowledge them and assure them that they're valid. Adapt your approach, because here's the problem. Every team member is different. Tailor your responses to their personality and needs. Then commit to change. Follow through on promises to rebuild trust and morale. It's really important to value your team. When your team thrives, the project thrives, and so do you. Now, here's some practical steps you should follow as a manager. Schedule regular one-on-one meetings to stay connected with your team. Create an open-door policy and encourage feedback without fear of judgment. And then celebrate individual and team achievements to foster a positive environment. Charlotte's transformation wasn't just about changing her management style. It was about rediscovering the power of connection. By listening, adapting, and genuinely supporting her team, she turned a fractured group into a cohesive, high-performing unit. If you want to build a team that trusts you, respects you, and works hard for you, take the time to show them you care. It's not a distraction. It's your most important job. Now, here are some problems that you're going to face when you try to make this transformative change like Charlotte did. Number one, you're going to have initial resistance from the team. Team members might doubt the manager's commitment to change, believing it's temporary or superficial. Past behaviors may have damaged trust, and rebuilding takes time. So how do you fix this? Well, the first thing is consistency. Demonstrate your commitment through consistent actions, not just words. Acknowledge the past. Apologize for previous mistakes and acknowledge their impact. And then, this was the hardest for me, be patient. Trust takes time to rebuild. Keep showing up and following through on promises. Now, you can feel overwhelmed at the scale of change that you may take. This is very, very common. Because changing long-standing habits that you may have and building new relationships with team members will probably feel daunting. The manager may struggle to prioritize new responsibilities while managing their existing workload. So the solution is you take it step by step. Focus on one improvement at a time, such as scheduling one-on-one meetings or improving communication. Also, delegate when possible. Empower team members to handle certain tasks, which frees up time for you to focus on leadership changes. And then celebrate small wins. Recognize the incremental progress to stay motivated. There's a big issue because you need to balance the individual and also the team needs. Because different team members require different levels of support, which can be very time-consuming to manage. And balancing one-on-one attention with team-wide initiatives can feel like a juggling act. So how do we do that? Well, you can establish a system. You can use tools like shared calendars or project management software to track individual teams and team progress, but be very careful here because that can just bog things down if you aren't careful. Set boundaries. Allocate specific times for one-on-ones and team-wide check-ins so you can manage your schedule effectively. And then empower the team. Encourage team members to support each other, reducing their reliance on you for each and every issue. Now, you're going to have individual personalities, and there's going to be issues adapting to that. Managers may struggle to adjust their communication style to fit the needs of shy or outspoken or highly independent team members. How do you handle this? Well, you need to learn emotional intelligence. Develop skills by reading books, going to classes. Develop skills in recognizing and responding to different personality types. And make sure you ask for feedback. Ask the team member how they prefer to communicate and what kind of support they need. And then be flexible. You need to experiment with different approaches and adjust as needed based on the results. Another issue is you're not going to see results immediately. And honestly, that was a struggle for me. All this work and I don't see anything. Because changes in morale, trust, and productivity may not happen immediately, leading to frustration or self-doubt. Team members may remain skeptical or slow to respond to new efforts. And here are some solutions for this, how to get around this problem. Focus on the long game, because you need to remember that transformation is a marathon, not a sprint. And you can use metrics to track things like task completion rates, feedback surveys, I'm not a real fan of those, or informal check-ins to gauge improvement. Sometimes just talking to the team will help you do that. And stay positive. You want to celebrate small milestones to maintain morale and reinforce the value of change, because they want to see that things are happening too. Another issue I have found can happen is getting pushback from upper management, because some senior leaders may view the focus on team dynamics as a distraction from hitting project deadlines or key performance indicators. So how do we fix that? Well, one way is to communicate the value. You need to present data or case studies that show how improved team morale and engagement can lead to better performance. And show early wins. Highlight examples of how changes are already benefiting the project or the team outcomes. And frame your efforts as part of the company's broader objectives, such as improving retention or productivity. Now, another thing you're going to face is personal discomfort with vulnerability. No one wants to be vulnerable. That doesn't come automatically. And being open to criticism and admitting past mistakes will feel, not can feel, it will feel uncomfortable and intimidating. Because the manager may fear losing authority or respect by showing vulnerability. So the way we can handle this is first of all to lead by example. Because vulnerability can build trust. Showing that you're human makes you more relatable and approachable. No one expects their manager to be perfect. So be upfront on it. Just say, I made a mistake here. And you can frame those problems as growth. Position your changes as part of your journey to become a better leader, which also sets a positive example for the team. And consider working with a mentor or a coach or a peer to navigate all these challenges of change. Now, another thing is, how do you handle the persistent frustrations or setbacks? Well, even with the best intentions, setbacks will occur, such as unresolved conflicts or ongoing resistance from certain team members. But it's important to stay resilient, accept that setbacks are part of the process, and use them as learning opportunities. And address conflicts directly. Don't ignore persistent issues. Schedule focused conversations to resolve them, and keep communicating. Regularly check in with the team to ensure that you're aware of emerging challenges and can address them properly. Now, it's really important that you manage expectations. The team may expect rapid, sweeping changes, and while the manager knows that this change will take time, the team may not, and unrealistic expectations can lead to disappointment on both sides. So to fix that, we do the following things. First, you set realistic goals. Communicate that change is a process, and outline what the team can expect in the short, medium, and long term. And involve the team. Make them active participants in shaping the process, which helps them manage their expectations. And regularly acknowledge improvements, no matter how tiny, to keep everyone engaged, because people want to see progress. We did something right. Now, you will need to balance change with accountability, because while focusing on building trust, the manager may hesitate to hold the team members accountable, fearing it may damage some of these new rebuilt relationships. So the way you can do that is to be fair but firm. Balance support, taking care of your team, with clear expectations and accountability. And you need to communicate those expectations. Make sure everybody understands their responsibilities and the consequences of unmet goals. And you need to provide constructive feedback. Frame accountability as a way to help the team to grow and succeed, not as punishment. And whenever you do feedback, make sure you emphasize the positive things they've done. And I've seen different calculations of 3-to-1 or 5-to-1. You know, 5 positive things for every 1 negative thing. Experiment with it. You can find one that works for you. Change is hard, but it's worth it. And managers like Charlotte prove that transformation is possible with humility, effort, and a willingness to adapt. The challenges you face along the way aren't obstacles. They're actually opportunities to grow into the leader that your team deserves. And that's Charlotte's story, a story of humility, growth, and the incredible power of simply listening to your team. And what started as a fractured, frustrated group on the verge of collapse turned into a high-performing, engaged team because Charlotte made one critical decision. She stopped dismissing her team's concerns and started paying attention. She met with her team members one-on-one, took the time to understand their frustrations, and this is most important, asked for their help. By involving them in the process, she didn't just fix her leadership style. She rebuilt trust and created an environment where everyone could thrive. And what's remarkable is how this shift didn't just save her team. It transformed her career, because Charlotte discovered that supporting her team wasn't a distraction. It was the most rewarding part of her job. She became a leader that her team admired, and other managers in the company wanted to emulate. Her newfound approach to leadership opened the doors for her, positioning her for a role model within her organization. So, what can we learn from Charlotte? First, listening is a superpower. When you genuinely listen to your team, you uncover the solutions that have been there all along. Second, asking for help isn't a weakness, it's a strength. Collaboration and shared accountability create the foundation for success. And finally, leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about empowering others to find the answers together. By focusing on her team, Charlotte became a better manager and discovered a deeper sense of fulfillment in her work. So, if you're a manager struggling with team dynamics, take a page from Charlotte's playbook. Listen, ask for input, and involve your team in the process. You might be surprised at the transformations it brings, not just for your team, but for your own career as well. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have. So much to cover, and I really enjoyed going over these items with you. Please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest new episodes and additional information about this new world of getting projects done. And you can find the different locations where you can listen to this podcast and other activities. And I also welcome comments about the podcast episodes and subjects you would like to see in future episodes. I don't have all the answers, and I'm always happy to see your comments and information. We are all in this together, and the more we share information, the better we all will be. So let us know what you found that works in your projects, and good luck. Thanks so much. We'll get together next time on Ignoring the Rules podcast.